I mean, it's an awesome, precious thing. Just an it just goes to testify to the fact that it's not a matter of God's willingness. He is waiting to bless us. It's just a matter of our ability to receive. Amen. You know, another thing that's just in my spirit, you know, some of you are in that place that we described tonight where you feel yourself going under. And it's almost to the point where you think your faith isn't working. Your faith is working. You're going into a new place. And God does us a favor to allow you, you know, just to kind of remove his, you know, so to speak, not remove his hand from your life, you don't understand, but let you, you know, when a child, I gave this illustration before, that, you know, when I'm in a swimming pool or something with Timothy, you know, of course, he's just 3 years old, I hold him up, or he wears the little floaties or whatever, you know, and as he's laying across my arms, you know, he's kicking and paddling. Well, if I just hold him forever, he's never going to swim. And a good dad, I gently lower my arms to let him feel what it's like to have to put forth a little something more. God is very good to allow us to feel what it's like, that moment where we need to put something more into it. And that's what you're feeling. It's not a matter of works. It's not a matter of, I got to get God to love me today. I better pray. And, you know, I mean, we have to get it in our minds that prayer is not a responsibility as much as it is a privilege. Amen. It's such a privilege. It is such a privilege. And I'll tell you what, another thing that the Lord was dealing with me tonight as we prayed is that this church is learning to flow in that new era. You know? And I got to be careful what I say because it can almost sound, you know, kind of prideful and stuff. But this room's being developed as, I mean, a very premier prophet's room, so to speak. Now, I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor and I'm a teacher. But there are those that are going to come into this ministry that will come in for a short period of time, and they will flow in that office. And what's awesome about the prophet's office, of course, it works in conjunction with the pastor. But a lot of things are accelerated in the prophet's office. It's always interesting as a pastor, you know, you work the whole year round to get certain things done, to move, you know, certain families into more and to see blessings. And sometimes there's stuff that's just plaguing somebody and they're just not getting the victory. And then a prophet comes in and that ministry all of a sudden gets them right where they need to be in one day. You know what I mean? And that won't happen if this room is unprepared. You know, that this local body, this local family. So what you're seeing is, you know, that call for us to bring things up. And I'll tell you what is going to happen. Just mark my words, it's happening right now. Is that when ministries like that step in here, they're going to, step into the Spirit instantly. And it's not about notoriety. We're not after popularity. But the word is going to get out, you know. It already has started to, where the reports are going out that, I mean, when, and it's not the building, it's not, you know, you understand, it's not about a building, it's about the people. But I'll tell you what, there is just such a power and anointing in this place, you know. And you step in here, and before service or anything, I mean, I just walk in here to go to my office, and it's like the anointing comes on me. There are some folks that put on an appreciation dinner for the leadership this past Friday. And, I mean, we just were sitting around the table talking about the anointing, and it was like the anointing came on me. You know, it was like we could have had service in that room back there, you know. Just was precious, you know. And all that stuff, you know, all that takes preparation, yes. You know. See, it's like a fireworks show. You know, we show up. And you sit there with your bag of popcorn and your glow stick. And, you know, you got your liquid neon necklace on. And, you know, and you stand there and you watch for, what, 15, 20 minutes as the explosions go off and all that. But what you didn't see is the company and the people that sat down and they packed each of those shells and they have to put certain gunpowders and explosives and all these elements in a specific order, because now it's not just about exploding. Now they explode with shapes. You know, one explodes as a heart, the other one explodes as a star and all this stuff. That wasn't just somebody going back there and just taking a shell and just scooping gunpowder and slapping a lid on it. I mean, they packed it specifically. They prepared all that, and someone had to build those launchers and hook all those igniters up and load the truck and all this stuff. There was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours that went in preparing that whole thing by the time it came just to light one of those off. Well, we're that's what we're doing here. We're getting ready. We're going to spend the hundreds and hundreds of hours so there can be a fireworks show. And we don't take, you know, and we can't just go straight to the fireworks show. You can't skip, go, and collect your $200 or whatever, you know. So we're preparing. We're preparing. And I just say this, I know this, that there will be such testimonies out of this place that the testimonies will reach the ears of people that are far and beyond. You know, they'll hear of the miracle room in Jamestown, New York. And speaking of which, you know, we have a doctor-confirmed miracle here at the church. I may remember just a little more, 2.5 weeks ago, December 18th, I preached a message called Jesus the Healer, and that God and Health message. And you remember how we call people forward. And there was hands laid on people. Well, there was a woman in the 11 a.m. that's part of our church. Many of you will probably know who I'm talking about. She was diagnosed with cancer, with a cancerous tumor, a very large one that is in on the pulmonary artery. And that thing is literally strangling, you know, the blood flow to the heart and all this stuff. And also cancer was detected, tumors were detected in the lungs and things like that. Well, she had come forward for prayer that December 18th. She had a PET scan just a couple of days after that with a local doctor who specializes in cancer. And he came back with a report, and he said all the tumors in the lungs are 100% gone. He said the tumor in the pulmonary artery, am I saying that right? You know, has shrank considerably, and it's shrinking, it's dissolving, it's going away. Hallelujah is right. And this doctor looked at her and said, how do you explain this? He was very curious. A local doctor right here in town. And she said, you know, I've been going to church. People have been praying for me. I've been praying. I've been releasing my faith. I had hands laid on me in prayer at my church just a week before the PET scan. And the doctor said, well, what church is that? You know? Well, and praise God that she got to tell him, you know. And this doctor said, well, I can confirm that this is a confirmable miracle. You know, that was his words. He said, well, he said, I would testify to the fact that you have received a miracle. He said, that doesn't just happen. And yeah, praise God. And then he turned and said, you know, he said, would you ask your pastor to pray for me? That I would have guidance because I want to be, you know, I want to help people and so on. And so it tenderized his heart. And all of a sudden got him thinking. You know, I mean, that's what the miracle is for. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's just the beginning. And we've seen stuff like that, but there's stuff like that to be done. People got to hear about that. You know? And I'll tell you what, when all the government has no more health care to hand out, when there's nothing more to give, guess where they're going to come? They're going to come into the house of God. Because people are going to come to the point, they're going to say, there's no other help for me but in God. So we prepare.
That's right.
Because that day's coming. Say, well, is that going to happen next year? Probably not. Is it going to start 2 years from now? I don't know. 10 years from now? I don't know. But see, we just prepare.
That's right.
So that we make sure that there's not, you know, things that we can't do because there's things we wouldn't do.
Right.
You know, was it going to be worth, I mean, in a time like that, I mean, are we going to look and, you know, and say, oh, it wasn't worth it to go to prayer meeting? It just wasn't worth it to give my Wednesday night like that. It wasn't worth it to be here. It wasn't worth, you know, messing with my schedule so I could be in church. Oh, it's worth it. It's worth it. If it's not, you know, maybe you yourself are not in need of a miracle healing like that, but, you know, you're going to, you know, need something at some time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not, you know, maybe you just have a financial need or whatever your need is, but there's people around you that are in need of miracles.
Sure.
People around you are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get some help here tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Such an awesome, awesome presence of God in here tonight. Praise the Lord. Heather, come on out here. Let's just worship God for a moment. Let's just worship God. Let's just worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are going to excel above and beyond your peers. You're going to excel above and beyond your peers in wisdom, in revelation, because you've put the house of God first. You are going to excel. You are going to excel. You are going to excel and reap financially. You will reap financially. It pays to be diligently seeking God. It pays to be diligent in the Spirit. It pays. And now I just say in Jesus' name, receive that blessing. Receive that blessing. Receive that increase. Receive that promotion. Receive that promotion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Keith, come out here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are going to be spared many desperate moments. You are going to be spared many desperate moments financially. Because God's house is first. Because God's house is first. You might not even be aware of what you're being spared from, but you will be spared great turmoil. You will be spared great financial hardship because you've placed God first. And I say in Jesus' name, the anointing of God is on you to increase in finances. Increase financially. Increase financially. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to you, Father God. Happens just about every Wednesday. The Spirit of God delivers me something for somebody who's not here. About every Wednesday. Happens almost every Wednesday it happens. Glory to God. Blessed is your name, Father. Blessed is your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's Hannah? There's Hannah. Come on out here, Hannah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because you've been honorable. There's a respect for authority. You have a respect for authority. Respect that authority. Keep respecting authority, and you will be promoted. You will be promoted because of your respect for authority. Hallelujah. The grace is on you to increase financially. The grace of the Lord is on you to increase financially. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we love you tonight. Blessed is your name. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You're so good, Father. Blessed is your name. I tell you what, it's fun to be part of a church that, you know, when you just start to feel that more is demanded of you, it's good to be part of a church that picks up the pace. This is a church that's picking up the pace. Picking up the pace. You know? It's okay if God's got to send a, you know, a warning shot over the bow. Glad he does, because he does that because he loves us. You know, you start to feel that and you start swimming a little harder. That's good. That's good. Rachel, come out here. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Jesus' name be blessed. Hallelujah. She's been so hungry for the anointing all night, figured we couldn't close service without giving her. Because you said in your heart, I want some of that. I want some of that. I love that. Wish hands would be laid on me. She was over there saying that in herself. You know, oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, sometimes it can be, you know, I got to be careful what I say, but I'll tell you what, I sit in meetings and I hunger. I just sit there. I was like, you know, I'm going to get Dr. Dufresne over and stand right in front of me. I'm just going to pull. I'm going to draw. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be hungry, and he, you know, he'll just sense that hunger. He won't be able to leave me alone.
That's right.
You know, then he comes over and stands in front of me and uses me for an illustration that you don't really want to be used in. Many of you were there. You know what I'm talking about. You know, but it's good. It's good, and it's right to hunger and to pull on that and just draw on that and use your spirit to just hook on and pull him in, you know. I mean, if you, now what would be wrong is if you sat there and said, if he doesn't call me out and lay hands on me, then I'm going to be mad and ticked off and I'm not coming back or something like that. Well, that would be wrong. But it's completely right and good to desire. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Barb, come on out here. Hallelujah. Blessed is your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you for this precious daughter of yours who has never quit, never stopped loving you. And the Spirit of God would have me say to you that the Lord is well pleased with you. And now, I just say there's an anointing of joy upon your life. Greater peace, greater peace, greater peace upon you, upon you, upon you, upon you. Father, I thank you for this precious saint. Father, I thank you for your anointing that's upon her now. Lord, I seek you. I seek you, Lord. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll have you. I'll say whatever you want me to say, Lord. But I don't want to miss you, Lord. I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss you. But Lord, I want to obey. Barb, the Lord would have me say tonight, your daughter is with the Lord. Your daughter is with the Lord. Your daughter is with the Lord. And you can let go of the guessing game. you can let go of the guessing game. Go ahead. Yeah, just lay under that. That's good. That's a blessing from God. You can see. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed is the name of God. The devil's been trying to tear you up with that. The devil's been trying to tear you up with that. I would never. I would never say something like that. On a whim. I'd only say something like that because woe is me if I don't. But that's God. That's God. That's God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're so good. Praise you, Lord. How good and wonderful. How good and wonderful. Lord, you are. You're so good and wonderful. Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yeah. And so the guessing game is over, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know that I would never call you up to say that to you in my own. Intentions of ever saying anything like that. That's by the Spirit of God.
Thank you.
So you just take that and you know that that's God. That's the Lord. And that thing's over for you, beating you up. Things trying to beat us up. God's so good to just tell us the truth. Truth will make you free. God, you're so wonderful and so good. So wonderful and so good. Hallelujah. Oh, Father. My goodness, you're so good. You're so wonderful. My goodness. I don't know how we dismiss a time like this. Isn't it precious? Isn't it precious? Man. Think of how important you are in the scope of God's plan for all the people that you come across every day. They need you. They need you. They need you to be loaded with God. They can just look at you and hope for something better for themselves. Amen. I challenge you, look for people on your path this week. You know, in evangelism, personal evangelism like that, it doesn't have to be difficult and it doesn't have to be weird. You don't have to have some rehearsed thing. Just care. I'll tell you what, if you care about somebody, you'll say the right thing. If you just, you say, listen, you know, I care about you. Why I'm saying this. I'm not saying it to get weird on you. I'm just saying that you need Jesus in your life. And the Bible says if you confess Him as Lord and Savior, He'll come into your life. And if you seek Him and pursue Him, things will change. You know, Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin September 2nd, 1950, Rockwall, Texas. And the first time Brother Hagin ever saw the Lord, he was 33 years old. He was my age. And, a young man. And the first thing he saw was Jesus standing there with a crown in his right hand. And Jesus just said to him, said, this is a soul winner's crown. And I have one of these crowns for every one of my children. But they've disobeyed me. I tell them to pray for so-and-so over here, and they don't pray. I tell them to talk to so-and-so over here, and they don't talk to him. He said, my children are talking about the joys and the thrills of heaven while people remain in darkness all around them. He said, I have a crown for every one of my children, a soul winner's crown. And Brother Hagin said, you couldn't even describe the beauty of this thing for people that lead others to Christ. I tell you, you know, that crown's for every one of us, every single one of us. And really, you know, I've been seeking God, you know, what's our greatest net here to catch fish? I want to catch fish. You know what I mean? I love that Christmas service because we caught some fish. You know what I mean? That was a good day's catch. And, you know, like, what's our biggest net, so to speak? And the Lord tells me every time, you are. All the people of this church. I won't fill these seats. I won't. You will. You know? You will fill the seats. And a pastor can't, and a pastor won't. And a pastor can try, he'll burn himself out trying to fill the seats. He's got to teach the people to fill the seats. So that's your job. You know, and I'll be honest with you, you got to remember, if you go with some, you know, if you're trying to get all spiritual on somebody who is spiritually dead, they don't understand. If you tell them, oh, you got to come to our church because we lift hands, we pray in tongues, and they don't understand that. Get right to the heart of the matter. Hey, you need the Lord in your life, and I can just tell you how easy it is. Yes. And my life has been the best. Brother Hagin, the Lord said something to Brother Hagin that was so simple. And every time I read it, I've literally read that book. I just read it twice again this last month. I just read that book over and over, that book, I Believe in Visions, by Brother Hagin. I read it. I mean, I just nonstop read that book. And I go back and I read that, I believe it's chapter 3. And you know, Jesus is holding that crown, and he tells Brother Hagin, he says, tell people that the hope that you have in me, and invite them to come to heaven with you. I mean, it was just so simple. I'm like, you know, in my teacher analytical mind, I'm like, oh, it's got to be something more clever than that. You know, he said, just tell him, say, I have hope that one day I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord. You want to come with me? I mean, just, you know, just invite people to come to heaven with you. I mean, that's what the Lord told him. I mean, it's so simple. You know, I thought, oh, we need a 12-step program. No, just tell him, say, the greatest hope I have that you know, I'm spending eternity with Jesus, and you know, you can have that hope too. You can have it too, and if you know, and what you need to do, carry it all the way through. Don't think people are, just because you said that to them, that they're going to go home and pray and ask Jesus in their heart. They're not gonna. You need to say, will you pray with me? Do you want to pray and ask Jesus into your heart? You know, we can pray right now. You know. Like I told that story on the Christmas service that a couple Sundays ago, I went to a nursing home, gentleman, 89 years old. I mean, just a hardcore atheist his whole life. Finally requested to speak with me, you know, and I came in and, you know, I mean he's nice, but he's real short with words, just pretty snappy and quick, you know. And, you know, I said, you know, he started asking questions about faith. I said, do you believe? He said, absolutely not. No, don't believe at all. I said, so you're an atheist? He said, yeah, you could say that. I said, do you have any hope in atheism? Nope, don't have any. Would you like some? Yeah. You want me to tell you how to get some? Yes. I just asked Jesus into my heart. I believe with all my heart that God gave his son so that I could die, or that he would die and raise again so that I could be free from my sin. And that when I die, that I'd be in heaven with him. He said, what did he send his son for? I said, to take the punishment that you deserved. I just kept it quick and short. I said, the Bible says that if you'll pray and ask Jesus into your heart, he'll come and move on the inside and he'll save you and give you eternal life. I said, sir, would you like to pray? He said, yes, I would. I mean, he could not get the words out quick enough. He was like, yes, I would. And he prayed and he looked at me and he said, I have a brother-in-law that's a minister, or a son-in-law that's a minister. He's been nagging me for years. He'd be so proud of me. I said, I talked to this guy 20 minutes. See, we think, but remember, the sower and the reaper are one. So his son-in-law been sowing seed. See, that's what you're doing with your family. You're sowing seed. And then one day in their desperate hour, hopefully before then, but it could come down to that, you know, all of a sudden, some young guy walks into their hospital room and he's never met a day in his life. 20 minutes later, he's going to heaven. Amen. Praise God. So don't ever underestimate all the seeds you're planting in those people. Praise God. Well, let's just pray and we'll close. Father God, we love you tonight. We bless your holy name. Father, everything said and done, you get the praise. You get the glory. Father, yeah, thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for this wonderful night, this wonderful church. Lord, I especially thank you for these precious, faithful people. Lord, we just thank you that I get to pastor a church of people that are willing to keep up the pace and step it up, Father, a church that receives correction. Father, we love you and praise you. We don't want to miss a thing. We want to enter this new phase. Father, we want to participate in this new era. And Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, you are so good. Lord, you are the head of the church. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the risen Savior, Son of God. You are the great I am. You are the Lord. There is no other God besides you. You are the creator of heaven and earth. And Father, we are your children, and we love you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.
Words come forth, people are healed. I love the fire.